Join the choir this morning as we sing 325, Jesus Saves. Let's stand this morning, 325, and sing it unto the Lord.
So I'll take our hymn books. Hymn number 322, My Sins Are Blotted Out, I Know. 322. Stand when you find it, please.
Amen. Let's stand and sing together. 322, My Sins Are Blotted Out, I Know. Saved.
Amen.
Pastor McDonald, you come and open our services.
See you all here this morning. I've got a verse for you from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33 says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Folks, we have a remedy for the anxieties of this world that they throw at us, and that is stop, tune out the world and tune into Jesus Christ. He will settle you down and he'll sit you on the right path that you're to go. And that's what he wants to do for us. Birthdays this week. Philip Weidrich is today. Joan Tyrrell is on Monday. She gets her own holiday, I guess, for her birthday. And so take it off and celebrate Joan Tyrrell. Eileen Spong and Marvin Weidrich share a birthday this Thursday. So be sure to congratulate them. And then I just got to do some backtracking. We had some, I don't know if I mentioned them all or not, but we had some anniversaries last week. Fred and Marilyn Pankhurst, on last Tuesday, it was their 25th wedding anniversary. So that's a milestone for them for sure. And I think I mentioned this, but just in case, Jim and Joanne, they had their 28th wedding anniversary yesterday. And Chris and Dave Cameron, that's Heather Wilson's folks, have their anniversary today. It's anniversary number 46 for them. So let's be sure to congratulate these folks and continue to pray for them and that God's leading in their families. Brother John, if you'd pray for this morning's offering.
Heavenly Father, once again, we give you thanks that we can come and gather in your house today. Thank you for your watching and show us. We pray for those that are not able to be with us today, Lord, that you would round about them and comfort them and keep them in your care. Thank you for these tithes and offerings, Lord, that will go on here at home.
Thank you.
good to have all of our college students home now. They all arrived safely. You'll be seeing them serving throughout the church throughout the summer. We're glad to have them here. 393. Let's stand and sing one more time. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. 393.
To see
your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Well, we've had several Love Works activities going out this week. Some are by individuals, others are by some of the group things, some coffee drop-offs and such. It's going to pick up steam every week. You're going to see more each week happening. This week, you'll notice Tuesday and Thursday nights, we're going to go out and do some water bottles to the parks. For $20, we bought 240 water bottles for $20, and so we can do a whole park in one night. But we need a team to distribute those, and so we're asking if you'd like to be a part of that. Meet us here at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, 7 o'clock on Thursday, and we're going to go to two different places and distribute water bottles to the athletes and to their families sitting out there watching, and that'll be a good testimony. We'll give them a Love Works card and a gospel track, and we'll try to invite them to church and plant the seed of the gospel there. So get involved in those things. There's still some things you can sign up for out in the lobby. There will always be things the whole program through to sign up for, and you can still do some grocery bags. You can still do some coffee drops and all kinds of things that we can do. Pick up some of the business cards so you can pay it behind, we're calling it. If you're at Tim Hortons, you want to pay for a coffee for somebody in the drive-thru behind you, you can do that, and you can just leave a little card that just says, check out our website, loveworksbbc.com. We had to be careful on that. We couldn't put a scripture or anything on it, because if we do, then the Tim Hortons employees are not allowed to give it to the next person if it's anything religious. So it had to just be a business card, and so that's why it's worded in such a way. But they can give it a website, and then they come and see the gospel on our website. So that's our Love Works program. Keep praying, keep working, and everybody get involved. Everybody can do something there. That's just an opportunity for us to share the love of Christ in our community. And so let me encourage you to do that. Next Sunday night, we're looking forward to having Justin Heath come back, and he's going to sing and preach for us. And when I came here, Justin was in his last year of college, and he was leaving us. Never actually spent any time in the church except for at Christmas break. And so at Christmas break, I wanted to hear him preach, so I had him preach the New Year's Eve get-together. And he did an incredible job. I was really, kind of first, second time guys preach, you kind of worried. You wonder, well, how are they going to do? And Justin did just a phenomenal job, and I was really pleased. And I went home and told my wife. I said, he just did a fantastic job. She was ill that night, and I said, he really did a really good job. So you're going to be blessed. And he's been preaching quite a bit, I believe, for Brother Thiessen. So he's got some more experience now, and he's going to sing as well. And so it would be a blessing to have one of our boys come home. And I want you to be a blessing to him. We're going to put out the little brown box out there, and you can drop a card in it. You can give him a gift if you'd like to do that. And whatever you want to do, you're welcome to do that. But let's be an encouragement to him and try to be a blessing to him in the ministry as he's serving Christ. And we're so thankful that he was saved and grew up here, and we have a part in his ministry. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's about a fellow by the name of Simeon. And Simeon is a interesting character. We don't read a whole lot about him in the Bible, except in Luke chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's pray together. Father, help us, Lord, today to listen to your word, and may the Holy Spirit speak through your word and help us. Lord, I need your help. I pray that you sustain my voice, and I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Give us a good time in your word, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Simeon was an interesting character. The Bible said that God had promised him that he would not see death until he saw the consolation of Israel. Of course, the only consolation Israel had would be a deliverer. They were in Roman captivity, and that deliverer they were looking for was the Messiah. On that day, the Lord Jesus Christ sent his Holy Spirit and tapped Simeon on the shoulder and said, it's time. The Bible says by the Spirit he came to the temple that day, and when he saw the little Christ child, he took him up in his arms. And he said, let now thy servant depart in peace. There was a consolation in his heart, not just for the entire nation of Israel. You know, it's interesting, being a pastor over for about 20 years now, I have seen many people go home to be with the Lord. Some die very well. Some just seem to have that spirit of grace that God gives when we need it the most. It seems like there are some that are just, I'm ready. They lay in the hospital bed and they smile and they don't shed a tear. They just know that they're ready to meet the Lord. For some, they have suffered and they're ready for the suffering to be over. For others, it's just the joy of meeting Christ Jesus. Their faith is about to become sight and it is so real they can almost touch it. I've shared with you before, but I'd like to share with you again the story of Brother Mike Armchuk. In the spring of 2006, Brother Armchuk and his wife had been married. His wife's name was Mary. They'd been married now for over 60 years. And Mike and Mary were a sweet couple, but Mary had succumbed to Alzheimer's. She had been really struggling. She didn't, a lot of times, didn't remember people that she had met just recently, and I'd only been her pastor for a couple of years, and a lot of days she didn't know who I was. There was a lot of other people that fell into that same category, and it was getting worse and progressing, and it got to the point where her husband was really the only person she knew. So Mike had got a doctor's report that he had many blockages around his heart, that he really only had one artery left that was open, and it was vastly plugged, and they said you could just go at any moment. That if that breaks loose or it plugs up even worse, there's nothing we can do for you. They said at your age, he was well in his 80s, there's no surgery we can perform and there's really nothing we can do to help you. They said just live each day. Well, you'd never know it. He would go and walk 3 kilometers every day, well into his 80s. He was in pretty good condition to look at him. He didn't seem to get winded easily, but he just seemed to keep going and loved to serve the Lord, loved the Bible study more than anything else. You know, he would come and listen to the preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, but Wednesday night, he just really loved a Bible study where he could just sink his teeth into it. He left money in his will, as a matter of fact, for us to buy Bible study material for the church. That was his passion. And so, in spring of 2006, realizing his own prognosis, he felt it was time to move into a retirement facility, but even a nursing home, so that if he died suddenly, his wife would be taken care of. Can you imagine a lady racked with Alzheimer's waking up and finding her husband had passed, and what would she do? So he wisely moved into this home. It was only about a month later that his daughter died of cancer. And I remember going up to the nursing home, taking some flowers for Mary, and Mary would have to be told over and over again why people were coming. She couldn't even remember. They'd tell her that her daughter had died, and she'd cry. And then 10 minutes later, she'd forget and have to relive it all over again. So every time somebody came in with flowers or a card or a note, they'd relive this experience over and over again. So I brought flowers for Mary, and I said to Mike, I'm so sorry to hear about your daughter's passing. He looked at me with bright eyes and a smile, and he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He says, one day you're going to get a call, and it'll be me. And I'll be with her again. What a great outlook. What a great attitude. That was in about May of 2006. That following spring, in the end of January of 2007, I was in Africa and I got the call that Mike Armchuk had gone home to be with the Lord. I wasn't able to do the funeral. Africa is not a trip you can just come back from overnight and be there in time for a funeral. And I was bound by an itinerary, so I had to call Pastor McLean. And Pastor McLean actually had the nursing home ministry at the same nursing home Mike was at, and he'd become friends with Mike as well. So it really worked out well. And Pastor McLean went and talked to the nurses and tried to gather some information from the nurses' station about the last few days of Mike's life so he could share some things at the funeral. And they said something to Pastor McLean that was very strange to them. They said, you know, the day before Mike died, he died in the night in his sleep. He came to our nurses' station and he said, I've run out of paper. Could I borrow a sheet of paper? I need to write a note to my children. I'm going home tonight. And they said, what do you mean, Mike? They thought maybe he was starting. He had early on, he had some, a little bit of, in the early stages of Alzheimer's himself, and they thought maybe he was going to try to leave, and he was on the Alzheimer's wing because of his wife, but he knew the code to the door, and he was allowed to go for walks and such, and so he was doing those things, and they thought maybe Mike's just fed up with us, and he's leaving. And they said, Mike, what do you think? Are you planning on walking away tonight? And he just smiled at him. He says, no, I'm going home. And he wrote his note and he went to bed that night and never woke up again. And Pastor McLean heard this story, and I'm glad it was Pastor McLean, because if I shared it, you might not believe it. And he shared the story with me. He says, Brother Fear, you're not going to believe this. Brother Mike told everybody, I'm going home tonight. And he passed away in his sleep. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody die so well. God had given him a special grace, even knowing, like Simeon, that he could depart now. God gave him a special consolation, a special peace, a special grace to help him. You know, what spurred this message is the choir sang last week, there'll be new grace that we've not needed before. And it got me thinking, is that a legitimate Bible principle? Is that something that happens? And I got thinking immediately, the Holy Spirit spoke in my heart, do you remember Simeon? Do you remember how Simeon was given a promise, and now as he has received that promise, it was almost like a death sentence, wasn't it? You will not depart from this world until you've seen the consolation of Israel. And now as Simeon holds that baby, he must think in his heart, uh-oh, I guess it's time. But instead, he didn't react that way, did he? He said, let now thy servant depart in peace. What a wonderful thing this is. God had given him a special grace. You know, I would like to share with you this morning that I believe that every believer can be assured of ultimately departing in peace. You know, sometimes we wonder, how are we going to react? Maybe this is a little bit grim this morning, I don't know, but maybe we wonder, how are we going to react when we face our final days? When we get the bad news that there's nothing that can be done, when we find out that we only have a short time left, or maybe we're at the age now where we realize that we have more days behind us than we have in front of us. How are we going to react? You know, if we look at the life of Simeon, we can see some things today. The Bible says in verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. One of the keys that allowed Simeon to be able to depart in peace is this. He had seen the salvation of the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, have you seen the salvation of the Lord? How many of you today can say, you know what, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Why don't you raise up your hand and say, yes, I'm saved. I have seen the salvation of the Lord. By a show of hands, who's saved today? That was something that prepared Simeon to depart from this world. Can I tell you this? You're not ready if you're not saved. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not met Him, by the way, this was a personal meeting. This was not just, how many people in that temple ground saw the Christ child? How many of them came in contact? The high priest would have had to take the baby or the priests that were performing this ceremony. And others have seen this baby as they traveled. I'm sure as they went into the marketplace, people would come over and say, oh, what a beautiful baby. And they would have met Jesus Christ. But how many have met Him on a personal level? Simeon knew the difference. This was not just a chance meeting. The Holy Spirit had put this encounter together, and he had seen not just Jesus, but he had seen the salvation that Jesus Christ had offered. Listen, friend, today, if you're going to be prepared to leave this world, you need to know Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has to convince your heart of your sin and bring you to a place where you understand you need a Savior. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We must trust Him and see Him as our only way of salvation. The Bible says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, friends, if you know the salvation of the Lord, you can be assured you can depart this world in peace. I want you to know that you can enjoy the same peace as Simeon had. Romans chapter 5, in verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, you are justified by the faith that saved you, and you can have peace with God, the same peace that Simeon had. John chapter 14 and verse 27, the Bible says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Several years ago, I took a lady in our church down to a doctor. She was 91 years old at the time. She's still living. She's about 96 or 97. And I took her to the doctor's office at 91 years old. She'd been saved for 60 some years. She was saved at the People's Church in Toronto under Oswald J. Smith. And I took her to the doctor. She was having some tests done and she was getting the results. So I said, "Well, I can take you on that day." And so I put her in my car and I took her down there and we got into the doctor's office and the doctor says, "Well," he says, "you do have this problem with your heart." And this lady just turned just white as a ghost. She was a lady from India and you could just see the color fading out of her face and the fear that came into her eyes. She was scared to death. And I thought, oh my, isn't it sad that somebody that's 91 has known the Lord for 60 some years is so afraid of death? She's lived another 5 or 6 years. I don't know that the heart problem was all that great. It's just that the doctor was saying, "Hey, you're 91. You've got a little bit of a problem here. Maybe you should adjust your diet. Maybe you should think about some things in your life." But it scared her so badly. And I thought, oh my, what are we learning from the Word of God? What peace are we getting? Listen, friend, if you know Jesus Christ, if you've seen His salvation, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will give us peace. Jesus said, "Peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." But He gives us peace. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace." We can have the peace of the Holy Spirit. And if you live in peace, you can depart in peace. I remember a friend of mine by the name of James Laking. And James got throat cancer so bad that he could hardly just kind of gravelly when he talked. And he'd say he would sip water because his mouth would get so dry, but they said that the water just kind of dissipated. It never even made it down because of all the holes in his esophagus. It was terrible. He must have been in just terrible, terrible pain. And of course, because he couldn't eat properly, he was just shrinking away. And shortly before his death, I walked in and I said, "How are you doing today, Brother James?" And he says, "This isn't near as bad as what they did to my Jesus." I thought, what a great attitude. To compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that He died for us and that the suffering and the pain of this life, the Bible says our present suffering is light compared to the eternal weight of glory. What an incredible thought. To know that even though we do struggle in this life and there are diseases and sicknesses that we must face, that it doesn't compare to the eternal weight of glory. And we can garner peace from that. You know, another thing that we notice about Simeon is that he was a servant. He says in verse 25, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace." Those that have given themselves to the Lord, those who are servants, this word servant does not necessarily mean one who is trying to please God. Often that's what we do. We run around trying to please the master. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. I think we ought to gear ourselves in our thinking and everything that we do ought to be pleasing to our Lord Jesus Christ. But a servant is one that surrenders to the will of God and follows it. That's what this word means. He surrenders to the will of God and follows it. Think about this. Often we are so busy trying to concoct ways and manufacture things that we say, "Well, I'm going to try this and I'm hoping it's pleasing to the Lord." What if we just followed His will? What if we just obeyed Him? You know that when the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel, if we were to go into all the world and preach the gospel, we cannot fail because that's what He told us to do. We might not be very good at it. We might not see a lot of results or fruit. But obedience blesses us. I was talking to Brother Jeff Roberts. And Brother Roberts is up in Maranatha, Baptist Church there in Sault Ste. Marie. And I was in Hamilton at the time. And our churches were both small and running about the same. And I said, "Brother Jeff, do you ever get discouraged?" He says, "No, not really." And I said, "Well, what's your secret? I want to hear it." He says, He says, I just understand as long as I'm obedient to God, that's all I have to be. I said, praise the Lord. That helped me. That, you know, sometimes we wonder, we're always praying and praying for a visitor to come through the door, praying for a soul to be saved. And when it doesn't happen, we hang our hat upon results. Simeon was just a servant. He was just obedient to the will of God. Let's just be obedient to God. And God gave Simeon a great peace. Then I want you to see in verse 29, the word depart. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. He wasn't saying it's just time to go. You fulfilled your will in my life and I'm like Paul, ready to be offered. The word depart literally means to escape from confinement. It means a deliverance from toil. The word is very similar to our modern day word retirement. When the work is finished and I don't have to go back anymore. It was interesting watching a CIBC commercial, I believe, Canadian Imperial Bank of the Commerce. And you might remember it if you've seen it. It's a fellow, there's a fire truck and there's all these firefighters standing in front of it. And the one's holding a sign and it says, after 39 years, and then he flips over, I'm retiring today. Have you seen that? And he starts doing a little happy dance, you know. Because he had invested wisely in CIBC, and that was what the whole commercial was. He'd put his investments there, and he had a good retirement saved up, and so now he was 55 or something, and he was going to retire early. And so he's doing this happy dance, and I thought, that's exactly what this word means. I'm free. I'm out of confinement. I don't have to labor anymore. And Simeon was saying, let me depart. This is wonderful. I'm free from the chains of this world. Boy, isn't that how we ought to face this world? Tonight we're going to sing a song that in our hymn books, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. That ought to be our attitude. We're just sojourners. We're just passing through. Simeon didn't hold too tightly to this world. I wonder, is your soul eager to enter into rest? Now listen, I believe that God has given us the desire to live. It seems like we fight for that. I think that's the right thing. God has a purpose to fulfill in our lives while we're here on earth. And so we fight to live. But when the time comes, we ought to desire to be set free. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. Does everybody understand what that's talking about? The Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You understand, you don't, somebody might say, if I were to say to Mr. Baker, I said, where do you live? Tell me, where do you live? In a house, not really. You live in that body. Isn't that true? If you were to say, well, I live in that house, that means you're dead everywhere else. But you live here too. You live at work. Wherever we are, we live. So we actually live in this tabernacle. We live in this house of clay. We live in this temple of the Holy Ghost. That's what we live in. Our soul is what's alive. God hath quickened it, made it alive. So that's where we live. And look what he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, do you remember what a tabernacle was in the Bible? It was a temporary dwelling. It was a tent that they put up and took down and moved about. But one day they made a permanent house. One day this tabernacle will be dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands. And look at it. It's eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Here's some food for thought. Right now we have a tabernacle, a temporary dwelling place. You know, a tabernacle, in the Bible, it sounds like a majestic place because that's the presence of God. But in honesty, it was a tent. you read about it, it was made with the coverings of skins of animals. And then there was some fabric as well, and there was all kinds of different things that went into it. But it was, if you were to look at it, you'd say, well, it looks like a big tent. It wasn't nearly as majestic as the temple that was to be more permanent place for the dwelling place of the Lord. The Bible says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. Now, I'm not here to be dogmatic, and I'm not going to fight you on it. A lot of people say, well, we're going to get a mansion when we get to heaven. Could it be our heavenly bodies are called mansions? I will lay aside this tabernacle, and I'll put on an eternal home not made with hands. I don't know. We might get a mansion. We might get a dwelling place. But Brother Baker, would you really want a mansion and that your wife's not going to be in because she's got her own mansion? I just wonder sometimes. We don't know all the answers, do we? I have not seen nor ear heard what has been prepared for us. What a wonderful food for thought to think that if this is a tent, a tabernacle, one day I'll have a mansion, an eternal home. Something that is incorruptible. This corruption will put on incorruption. This mortality will put on immortality. One day we'll have, and the Bible says we groan for it. We earnestly desire. That's what Simeon was doing. He wasn't suicidal. He wasn't saying, well, now I can go and I can jump off a cliff because I've achieved everything in life. Look what the Bible says. If you go back to verse 30 of Luke chapter 2. Verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou. He's saying, Lord, if it's time, I'm ready. This is up to you. I need your permission to come home. Our life is not in our own hands. But God could take control and he was ready to go. Well, let me ask you, friend, are you wanting that kind of peace when the time comes? Let's be honest. They say the only few things certain in life are death and taxes. We need to be prepared. And we need to know when that day comes. And I hope I've seen many die well, but I've seen some die very poorly. Angry, bitter, fighting. Why don't we trust the Lord for the peace and the grace that he can give at that time? You know, I've seen in the Bible that some believers are conscious of a special readiness to depart in peace. Some are ready to go when the graces of God's word are most vigorous in their life. It seems that those that have faith and those that are ready to go, that have grown the most in the Lord, they're the most ready. I'm speaking now just from experience. Those that have the closest walk with the Lord are ready to face life's challenges in the best way. It seems like they are the ones that have the encouragement of the Lord, that they have the grace of the Holy Spirit cultivated in their lives as they have experienced and walked with the Lord for so long. When faith becomes the evidence of things not seen. The story is told of D.L. Moody as I've read his biography, and at the end of his life, he was suffering from heart issues, and as he was kind of slipping away, he was whispering out loud. He had had two grandchildren pass away. And he says, I can see, and he named them. It was almost like he was talking in his sleep, and he says, I can see them playing on the hills of heaven. And the doctor came over and said, he's fading, and they took a needle with adrenaline and jabbed it into his heart and shot him full of adrenaline, and in a minute or two it awoke him. And he says, what have you done? If this is death, it is sweet. That was his reply. And 4 hours later, he went home to be with the Lord. There's a special consciousness, it seems, for some that God has blessed them as they prepare for the end of their life. For those that have faith, but for those that have hope as well, we read of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 13. His faith caused him to have hope for a city whose builder and maker is God. There was always something in his sights to keep him going for the Lord and preparing him for the end. You have that same hope as well. We have the hope of John 14. We have the hope of 1 Corinthians 15. John 14 talks about our heavenly mansion. 1 Corinthians 15 says that death shall be swallowed up in victory. Mortality shall put on immortality. The Bible gives us hope in this life if we'll just reach out and grab it. We also know that when our assurance is clear, Do you know people are afraid to die when they're not sure if they're saved? You will cling to this earth if you're not sure. You will fight for everything you've got if you're not sure. That has been my experience as I've sat by bedsides and I've had to ask, are you ready to go? Are you sure you're prepared? There's been the odd time. Normally it's a church call, but there's been the odd time where somebody says, I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure. It was about a month and a half ago, Brother Judge called me and asked me if I'd go do a visit. One of his employees' father had, I'm really not sure it was a heart issue or what it was. Oh, he'd had some cancer and he had some problems, but I think it was his heart that day. And he was in the Hamilton Hospital and he'd asked his employee, would you like my pastor to come and see him? And he said, yeah, I'd like that. And so I went to Hamilton with my wife and we went by his bedside and he was already unconscious. It's sad when it's too late almost. Found out that the gentleman that works for Brother Judge, his sister knew the Lord as her Savior, and so we talked with her a little bit, and she'd gone to a church in Hamilton that we knew of, and so we got around the bed, and I tried to talk to him about the Lord, and just no response. It's so hard to give anybody any peace in a case like that. There's been the odd time where I've called from the funeral home, would you preach a funeral? One of your bus kids' grandparents died, and they don't have a church. Would you come and preach the funeral? Well, you don't know what to say. You just try to give scripture to the children, give scripture to the grandchildren, and try to help them through a difficult time and give them the gospel so they can have some peace if they get saved. But how do you say they're in heaven? How do you give any peace? And it just seems like folks like that just seem to fight and hang on. They're angry, they're bitter, they don't want to let go of this world, they cling so tightly. Because there's no assurance in their life of salvation. But you know, when our fellowship and our communion with the Lord is sweet, like we see in the life of Simeon, then we're ready to go. You might miss them, but it's just for a short time. Brother McKenzie, his wife passed away a couple years ago. I guess it's almost been 3 years now. He called me on the phone and we talked a little bit and he was hurt. He'd been married for 65 years. And, you know, they were married as teenagers, and it's just a big hole in your life now. And I said, you know, Brother McKenzie, I said, you'll be with her a whole lot longer than you'll be without her. He's 87. He said, that's the very thought that came to my mind when I was reading the scriptures this morning. It won't be long. We can comfort ourselves when we walk with the Savior. But friends, if you're without the Lord today, there is no comfort. There is no peace. You need the Holy Spirit. You know, a fellow by the name of Latimer, who was a martyr for the faith, turned to another as they were tied to the stake and about to be burned. He said this. He said, courage, brother. We shall this day light a candle in England and shall never be blown out. What an attitude. Because of the assurance of salvation and the fellowship with his Lord, Brother Latimer was able to cry out and say, we're doing this for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're lighting a light before him. Let me ask you, do you have that kind of peace and grace in your life? I wonder today, are we busy for the Lord? Notice the key that Simeon was a servant. Somebody that was keeping busy. Do you know that our relationship with the Lord usually is going the best when we're busy for him? We're doing something, we're serving him. Because there's an interaction there where he is feeding us through his word and we are serving him to be pleasing unto him. And then we wonder, did Simeon have some words to be encouraged? Look what it says in verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Look at that last phrase. According to thy word. According to thy word. I wonder if he got some peace from the word of God. Now, it's evident to me that the Holy Spirit has given him something special. The Holy Spirit has spoken to his heart. But I wonder if some of the words the Holy Spirit has rehearsed to him are, lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I wonder if the Holy Spirit has spoken to him over and over again about the Psalms and the prophets of old that spoke of death as just simply sleep or rest. I wonder if the Holy Spirit had reminded him of his eternal home. You know, we have those same words today, but we have them in written form. And as we read the Word of God and we judge God's grace according to His Word, we find that God does give a peace. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things to come or things present or things to come, all are yours and ye are Christ and Christ is God's. Paul is saying to the church of Corinth, everything's in God's hand. Life, death, things present, things to come. Don't worry about it. Trust it in the Lord's hands. And He'll take care of your needs. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 for just a few pages. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Revelation 14:13 says this, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Let me ask you this morning, my friend. Do you have the assurance of salvation in your life to the point that Simeon did? To the point where you can say, whatever happens in this life, I'm just going to experience God's grace. I'm going to trust that He'll give me peace to face any situation, even death. That I can depart from this world and know that I'm in a better place. Can I share something with you? That ought not be a cliche in the life of a Christian. How many funeral homes have you gone to where unsaved people come up and say, well, they're in a better place? What are they basing that on? They have no hope whatsoever. They're unsaved. They have this idea of heaven. By the way, the only idea of heaven we have comes from the Scripture. But people will say these cliches all the time. Well, they're free from their pain. They're free from their suffering. They're in a better place. Hey, that's not a cliche if you're a child of God. That's a fact. Simeon said, let now thy servant depart in peace. Why? He knew he was going to a better place. Revelation 14 says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. There's a peace. You know, the Bible allows us to grieve. We understand that when somebody dies, it leaves a hole in our hearts. It takes a piece from us. And there is a time of sorrow, a time of grieving. But it's not as the world without any hope. We don't sorrow like the world. We have a hope. We have a peace. Years ago, Mrs. Patterson went home to be with the Lord. Madeline Patterson, dear saint of God. She, too, was also saved under Oswald J. Smith, led to the Lord by him. Just a godly, sainted lady, just one of the most wonderful lady, you know, we ever had in our church. Just a servant's heart. She would take a cat food can and turn that into a centerpiece on the banquet table like you wouldn't believe. And she grew up through the Depression, and so she never threw anything out, you know. And she was dying of cancer. She passed away one night or one morning about 7 a.m. We were at her home and she passed away. Went to the funeral home and I can remember we were in the funeral home and she was laid out at the front, of course, and there was all kinds of people there from the church and her family and friends. And everybody was standing around saying, what a great lady. What a great life. We're so thankful she's with the Lord. She's got her peace now and she's free from that cancer. And I mean, that was the kind of conversation going on. Right across the hall was a 19-year-old girl who had taken her own life. And people were angry, and they were bitter, And literally, we'd once in a while hear people going up and they would start bawling and then uncontrollably start screaming at her in the coffin. Why did you do this? What was the difference? One was saved and one was not. God had given grace to a group of people that knew and had assurance of their salvation. Do you have that kind of assurance today? There's a lot of trials in life that this can apply to, not just death. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Let me ask you, friend. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? We don't like talking about it. We don't like thinking about it. The Scripture gives us all kinds of things to prepare us how to live, but we need to also be prepared how to leave this world. If you're to die today, are you sure you're saved? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Just do a little check. I know that nobody really wants to die. I mean, it's not something we relish. We don't want to go through the process of death. It's a difficult thing. But as a child of God, we ought not fear it in the sense that the world fears it. Are you saved today? Has God given you a special grace to face trials, to face this life? Maybe there's somebody here today and say, "Preacher, I just need to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I had to die, I don't know that I'd be prepared for it." Could I pray for you? Would you just slip up your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call out your name. Just want to pray for you today. Is there one? I'm not sure I'm ready. If I have to die, I just don't know. Maybe there's some that just say, "You know what? I like Simeon. I just need to have a closer relationship with the Lord. I need to walk with Him. I need that communication with the Holy Spirit like He had. I need to be a servant because there are trials in my life and I need to know that I'm walking close with the Lord." Here's your opportunity to spend some time with the Lord in prayer. And just make sure that we are walking with Him like we ought to be. Let's stand to our feet this morning as the instruments play. Brother Baker, I'm going to ask you to sing a verse of a hymn this morning. If God has spoke to your heart, would you make your way to this altar? Would you pray right where you are? Whatever your needs are, would you take them to the Lord that we can be assured that we'll have His grace in the time of need? Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Pastor McDonald's going to come and close our service with some announcements.
Amen. We deal with some serious issues here at Bethel Baptist Church because your life is important. And the invitation goes on even after the service. If you're not 100% sure, we're going to spend eternity. We're here. And we can take you to the Word of God, and we can show you 100% for sure how you can know that you have everlasting life. We spend all our lives just preparing, it seems, for death, but we're really preparing for an eternity in heaven with our Savior, and we'd like to have everyone join us. As far as announcements go, I just want to remind you that we have the Academy open house this Wednesday, and the young people have been putting together, or been preparing to put together for you, a play called The Holy War. It's part two of Pilgrim's Progress, and it's sure to be a good one. Plus, we've got some extra things we want to present to you, so I really encourage you to come on out and support
The Academy students, they've done well this year. I've been very pleased with how things have been going. And so continue to pray for them and support them by coming out on Wednesday night, please. Also, I want to remind you, as the pastor had said, about Love Works for the water bottle distribution for Tuesday night, Thursday night. Be prepared for that. That's a great opportunity to get out into the neighborhood and show people, actually, hey, we really do care. We are here, and we're here for you. And so that's important, too. Also, tonight, there's a church bonfire and barbecue right after the evening service. And it's down at the bus barn. You'll see some of the trailers and things are all down there. So there's going to be a great time if you want to go. Just please bring a chair with you, a folding chair or something like that, and also food so that you can cook it up, and then also a warm jacket because it still does get cold at night. So be prepared for that. So that's right after the evening service tonight down at the bus barn, a barbecue and a bonfire. So that'll be good. And then also I just want to remind you also next week we have I believe it's right in the bulletin. It is. Justin Heath is going to be with us, and he's going to be preaching and singing. So come on out, and I want to encourage you to support him. I'm very pleased with this young man. He has studied hard. He's active in the ministry. He's in our college, Baptist Bible College, Canada, working on his doctor's degree. He's already got a master's degree from down there in Pensacola in their seminary. And so let's support the people that we've sent out from this church. This church has sent out some fine preachers. Let's pray that it will continue to do that. And so I'm looking forward to that next week. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the message that was preached this morning. We know, Lord, that that's one thing that we all face, and that is one day we're going to face our own death should the Lord tarry his coming. And we're going to have to give an account for the position we're in, whether we have Jesus Christ as our Savior or not. Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here who is not yet saved, that you would not give them rest, Lord. Not because, Lord, you want them to be unsettled, but because you want them to get settled in their hearts that you are the truth and you are the only way to eternal life. And Father, for us, help us to continue to pray for our loved ones that are not yet saved. Help us to keep in mind, Lord, that hell is very real and that heaven is very real too, Lord. And so let's help us to keep those eternal issues in mind. Give us safety now on the road as we go our ways. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you now as you go.